Hello, Dave.
Hello, Ollie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Welcome to Sustainababble 21.
Thank you. Welcome to Sustainababble 21 yourself. We've got the keys to the house and we're not afraid to have a massive party when our mum and dad are away. This is your environmental podcast about why everything to do with the planet is completely bonkers, confusing, doesn't make any sense and winds us right up. We work for environmental charities quite hard this week. And everything...
Thanks the government.
Thanks the government. But everything you're about to hear us say is not their views. It's ours, even though actually, do you know what, this week there's going to be quite a lot of crossover with other people's views. Yes, what we got coming up this week? Well,
we have got some, well, a big old section on solar because we touched on it last time, but it's great, but the government doesn't think it's great, and we're going to explore that a little bit. We are going to be talking about a politician in America who isn't Barack Obama. Extraordinary. And we've also got a welcome return of Schadenfreude of the week. Schadenfreude of the most delicious or disgusting, depending on your point of view, order. Can't wait for that one.
Okay, let's get on with it, shall we?
Sustainababble of the week.
So, Sustainababble of the week. This is the section every week where we have a look at the rubbish, the guff, the nonsense that's been written or spoken about the environment, and usually people pretending to be green and good and righteous when they're not. Or just piffle. What have we got this week, Dave?
Well, what we have got, Ollie, do you know what a New Zealand is?
It's a country, Dave.
It is a country. It's that really weird one on the other side of the world where people go and they never come back, and where the hobbits live. And where they've got birds. Lots of birds. Lots of birds that we don't have over here. Yeah, Weirdy birds, like that kiwi bird, which has a syringe for a mouth.
And green fruit for its inside.
Yes, indeed. And there are two types of bird there that are basically the same, and they're both native to New Zealand. One of them is called a pukeko, and it's a big blue bird, and it lives all over the place, and it is very common. And one of them is called a takahe, which is a big blue bird that doesn't live all over the place and is very uncommon, right?
Right. Okay, go on.
Pukeko, common. Takahe, not common, right? Basically, as far as a Martian would be concerned, these are the same birds, right? But as far as the New Zealand government are concerned, one of them is the devil and must be killed, and the other one is Jesus Christ Almighty and must be carried around on a gold altar and worshipped as if it were the most precious thing in the entire world, right? Because we decide what birds are nice and what birds aren't nice, even though these birds are the same. Are you with me?
I think so, yeah. Is it that one of them is a bit rare and the other one's not very rare, and that's what makes them special?
Yes, and if you cast your mind back to episode...
Ooh, I can see the cogs in your brain working there. You haven't got it, have you?
Nope. We talked about grey squirrels and red squirrels. Do you remember?
Well, I remember the squirrels, yeah.
Yeah, the squirrels. I still can't say squirrels. We talked about red squirrels and grey squirrels. And despite the fact that they're basically the same, you want to kill all the grey squirrels and you want to save all the red squirrels, right? And you're basically
you're still not over that, are you?
And you're basically exactly the same as the New Zealand government and the New Zealand Deer Stalkers Association, which is a bunch of people that kill things.
Uh-huh. Yes, I thought you were getting onto something here. You weren't just having a go at these birds for being rarer than others. So the New Zealand National Deer Stalkers Association has apologised to the country at large after four of the special birds, the takahe, were mistakenly shot by hunters carrying out a cull of the not special birds. So the ones that they didn't mind shooting the shit out of.
Yes, not only shot, but left for dead, riddled with pellets. And you remember when we talked about the bird death ray, when you accidentally kill loads of birds and you don't say sorry, you say we had some avian incidents, sorry about that, right? Well, shall we have a listen to what the president of the New Zealand Deer Stalkers Association, a guy called Bill O'Leary, has said?
I share with the department a concern that the deaths will affect efforts to save an endangered species.
Yeah, yeah. You think?
The you deaths?
Think?
Yeah. So it just makes me laugh, this whole thing. If you actually sit back and look at it, like, we are so weird with our relationship with animals. I'm not saying it isn't important to protect endangered species. Don't get me wrong. It is not a good thing if the takahe go away, right? But this whole idea that some birds we should just shoot in the face and other birds we shouldn't shoot in the face. And indeed, if we do accidentally shoot those birds in the face, we have done something awful. And if we do shoot the other birds in the face, or, for example, like eat a billion of them a year, like chicken, that's all right. And we've got this really weird relationship, and this just bears it out to me.
It is very odd, yeah. And they weren't even supposed to be shooting them in the face. That's the other thing. Apparently, they were instructed only to shoot on the wing, but they didn't. Not only did they shoot the wrong bird, which is not identical either. It's apparently twice the size of the other one and flightless, whereas the other one isn't flightless. So there are differentiations between the two. But they got that wrong, and then they shot them in the face instead of shooting them in the wing. But yeah, that's just an amazing quote, isn't it? The deaths will affect efforts to save an endangered species. No, I think they will.
Special mention to The Guardian for their own particular brand of babble on this. And they said this.
The loss of 4 dead birds is broadly equivalent to the loss of 160 tigers or 93 pandas.
It doesn't make any sense. You can't, you know, it's one thing to say this amount of carbon is equivalent to this weight of double-decker buses, but you can't, it's apples and oranges, isn't it? Or to kahi and tiger. It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, Inhofe time. We couldn't wait to get to Inhofe this week. Inhofe, for those new to the show, is the name of a senator in America who is a numbnut. He thinks that there's no climate change because there's still snow. So we have named other numbnuts after him. And this week's numbnut is, well, it's a sort of joint prize, really, between two politicians in the UK. One you'll almost certainly never have heard of, Amber Rudd. She is the Energy and Climate Change Secretary. Her job nominally is to deliver policies that stop climate change. And the other is George Osborne, who you probably have heard of. He's the Chancellor of Exchequer, and we don't particularly like him. And his job, as far as we can tell, is to screw up everything. Unless you're a billionaire, in which case he makes it nice for you. Just my opinion. So this week, they get the joint award because, well, you know how we had Alice Bell on saying how solar was well nice and everything? Well, they must have been listening because they've killed it. They've properly ditched solar. Not only had they kind of cut the support for the big scale stuff, the solar farms, yesterday, and I'm still kind of reeling from this, they decided that it's wrong to give people incentives to put solar panels on their roofs, so they're stopping that. Literally, there is no reason other than the goodness of your heart to spend loads of money on a solar panel and put it on your roof anymore. It's annoying!
See, I've had a very bad week. I didn't think that this, all of the pulchritude that this government has come out with.
All of the what?
Pulchritude.
What on earth does that mean?
You know, like when you've rented a flat for a couple of years and at the end of the couple of years you need to clean it all up so you can get your deposit back. And you are cleaning out the back of the fridge and you realise that a bag of carrots has gone all frozen to the back of the fridge and started to like go really, really weird and brown. And then after you've got all the bits of plastic off, there's still this kind of brown smegma that will not leave.
That's pulchritude.
Pulchritudinous, that's what that is. Yes. And what we've had from this government in the first 120 days or so has been a slurry of pulchritudity of biblical proportions. If you want the quick version of this, go back to the start of episode 19, the first one of this series, when Ollie, in a state of increasing anguish, reeled off all of the bad things that had happened. Well, now you can add to it, has destroyed the UK solar industry because they are a bunch of tits. The mechanics of what's happened is there is a thing called a feed-in tariff, which we talked about at the very end of last week, we'll come to again, which is a subsidy that you get for generating electricity from solar. Solar panels are getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, but they're not quite yet at the stage where you get your money back in a sort of decent time scale, so people don't consider doing it. But if you add a little bit of subsidy on, then they do. Problem is twofold. Firstly, there is a budget that Mr. Osborne has put on the total amount of money you can dole out. Well, that's not a bad thing in principle, but he refuses to overspend it. And because the second thing has happened, which is that solar is hugely popular and getting more and more popular, we are overspending it. So what Mr. Osborne has done is said, no more cash. You have got hardly any to play with. You've got buttons, you've got nada, you've got nothing. You've got £2.50. If you can't go out and spread that around the people that might want to do solar, I'm going to take it all away and you will have to stop. And so the entire solar industry, all 25,000 jobs or more, are completely knackered and they're going to have an exceptionally bad Christmas. And I genuinely can't believe it. The worst thing about it all, the thing that is genuinely galling, and this bit isn't funny, and I'm sorry, there aren't any knob jokes, but I've had to wade through 140 pages of this nonsense this week and make sense of it. The worst thing is just how close solar in the UK is to not needing subsidy. It's nearly there, whereas something like the price of a panel would have to come down by something like £800, which is about, you know, another 20% or something like that. Don't quote me on that figure, but it's like, yeah, we're getting there. Stuff is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. But we're not going to get there quite. And what that means is all the solar industries are going to close, and all the people who have spent years training up apprentices and people who previously fitted roofs to go and do it are going to go away, and other countries are going to carry on doing it, and the panels will get cheaper, and one day we will have loads of solar in this country, but we're going to have the destruction just for the want of what is in real terms really not very much money, nothing compared to what things like nuclear get or the tax breaks that North Sea oil and gas get.
Well, yeah, let's just explain that quickly, because the whole justification for stopping it is that everybody, through their electricity bills, a levy put on their electricity bills by the energy companies, is paying for this subsidy. And that is true. So I'm paying for other people to have solar panels on their roofs, right? And they are saying that this is no longer acceptable, and the measures that they're taking now to effectively stop this policy in its tracks, to stop any more panels going up, is going to generate the grand saving of £6 per year in 5 years' time.
Yeah,
£6
for everyone. So everyone's electricity bill will be £6 cheaper. Now, right, listen. Shut up and listen. Listen, right? Shut up and bloody listen for a minute, right? I'm not saying...
Get my beer.
Yeah, get your beer, shut up and listen. You too. You, listener, shut up. Put that down and listen for a minute. Right. Now, I'm not saying that some people couldn't do with an extra £6 a year. I'm not saying it's not, in general, a good idea to stop the cost of stuff getting more and more and more expensive, right? But if you were so close to getting solar to the point where it could really, really take off, if you really thought that was important, you know what you'd do? You would find that cash from tax, right? You would just find that cash from somewhere else, or you would make rich people pay a bit more of it, or you'd do something. But what you wouldn't do is just go, no, that's it, sorry, I made up this budget 4 years ago when I didn't really know how popular solar was going to be. Now it's turned out to be much more popular. That's it. That's your lot. Sorry. Off you go. Get on your bike. Off you trot to the Dole office. You wouldn't do it like that if you were serious about renewable energy, which the Chancellor isn't. I love solar.
Oh, it is great. It's wonderful. It's exciting. It's the future. It's now.
It's now. Everyone loves it. 80%, said Alice Bell a couple of episodes ago. 80% of the public like solar, which, as you pointed out, is more than the percentage of the public that like ice cream, right? certainly more than the percentage of the public that like George Stupid Osborne, right? That's a negative percentage, I think.
Well, it is.
Yes, it's the man who got booed at the Paralympics. It's the Paralympics, for God's sake.
Can we just play that for a bit of catharsis?
Yes.
Because that's still one of my favourite things in British cultural history of the last 20 years.
The Right Honourable George Osborne MP, Chancellor of the Exchequer, is accompanied by Mr. Chris Brownridge.
First boos that we've heard all week at the Paralympic Stadium.
Yeah, Gideon.
Yeah, well,
take that.
Quite. Apparently that really upset him. Good. Right. Anyway, when we talked to Alice Bell, who does solar and optimism for a living, we asked her a few questions about solar and why it's so great. And we just thought, we didn't use that when we did the interview, and we just thought we'd play you a little bit of that now. So this is Alice saying why solar is brilliant.
Really like about solar is not only that it does produce energy, and that's a good thing. It produces a fair amount of energy, and that's good. But it has the ability to engage people more with their energy system. So I think overall, if we project an ideal energy future, it would have some quite large scale energy projects that are probably offshore, or in big. Maybe if you like nuclear, would be in a large, heavily protected, kind of closed off nuclear power plant. But certainly, even if you don't, you have like maybe large offshore wind turbines and things. But I think we want a mix of some things that are a bit smaller and on our houses and are in our schools and on our churches and our libraries and our community centres. Because one of the problems, I think, in terms of getting us to shift our energy system is that we're so separated from it. We only really engage with it as a bill or turning on a switch, and solar can sort of it literally brings it back home. So one of the reasons why 1010 does this work with solar schools, where we get schools to raise money to put solar panels on their roof, is not just because the school then becomes partly powered by sunshine, which is lovely. It is also that the kids are so proud of the solar panels that they fundraise for, and then they look at the they can check on the meter like how much energy they're producing and how much they're using, and they run around turning all the lights off and they get much more energy efficient. So not only does solar power have, is pretty good for producing power itself, but I think it can do a lot more kind of socially and culturally and change our attitudes about energy. And that is something that very few energy sources could do. So yes, I think solar's brilliant because it does so much more than just produce energy.
And I almost feel a little bit bad putting Amber Rudd in this corner with him. I'd imagine she doesn't spend any more time with George Osborne than she has to. But right now she's stuck in an off corner. But I feel less bad because she did say in May, after being elected, that she wanted a solar revolution in this country. You know, so a person in charge of energy policy says, I want loads of solar. And then a matter of weeks later comes out with this announcement saying, oh, yeah, no more solar. And we can talk about the politics a little bit now, because it's clear that she had no choice in this. It's clear that the Energy Department is pretty insignificant in the much bigger game of George Osborne and his vision for this country and his vision for his own job prospects. And, he wants a legacy of clamping down on green stuff, of being seen to be protecting hardworking families. And he's taken the gamble that it's worth annoying a few greenies like us. And, he might have overstretched himself here. There are plenty of people who are not greenies who like having solar panels. And he might have overstretched himself here. But he's taken a gamble that it's worth pissing them off in order to throw this kind of red meat to the backbenchers of the Conservative Party, who, we shouldn't forget, are more powerful now than they've been in a long time, because the Conservative majority is quite small. And he's reckoning that they will lap this up. And
it's all got to do with Europe, isn't it?
Be Europe, yeah. Yep. Look, we've been well nice to you on green stuff, so just give us a free ride on Europe, would you?
Yep. So what we have just discovered is that you can, this is all up for consultation, this isn't a done deal, and a whole load of people are going to get all up in arms and upset about it, right? And far be it from us to entreat you, dear Babbel Army, to do us a favour, but what we would like would be if you could go to the website www.decc.gov.uk, which is the Department of Energy and Climate Change, scroll right down to the bottom where you'll find the weeny little tiny apologetic mousy little thing saying that they're ending the UK solar industry. Go to the bit where you fill in the consultation and send them a massive picture of your genitals.
Reasons to be cheerful.
So, reasons to be cheerful. We do want to look at the lighter side of life on this podcast, as well as the rubbish, George Osborne. But no, we're not going to talk about him anymore. We're going to talk about some good stuff. And it is all solar related. And as we said, solar is amazing. And as Alice has pointed out, everyone's doing it. No more so this week than India, who have approved plans for, get this, 50 solar cities. So at the same time that the UK government is going, nah, we'll stop that, India is saying 50 cities are going to go solar. And it's cool, is what it is. It's well cool. So it's a big amount of money to get these cities who, and they've drawn up plans for how they're going to do it for at least 46 of them. And they say each city is going to have a minimum of 10% reduction in demand for conventional energy, i.e. your fossil fuels, your nasty stuff, and doing that via the installation of renewables like solar, wind, biomass, small hydro, and even a bit of saving energy through energy efficiency. So it's not turning the whole cities into like great big shiny solar panels, but it is making a massive contribution to their own energy needs. And yeah, go India.
So what?
Well, so that's good news, right?
Yeah, it's good news, but it's India, it's hot. I mean, it's good news, but like you were comparing it to the UK government and saying like, well, you know, so what, India are doing it, why can't we do it? Well, India's hot, isn't it?
Well, hot hasn't got anything to do with it. It's about light for a start.
You okay, doozy. Well, but is India light?
Yes, India has daylight.
Yeah. Does it have more daylight than we? Look, don't try and wiggle out of this. Does solar power work better in India than it does in Bournemouth?
I don't know. India's big.
Yes, right, let me tell you. Yes, yes, it does.
Probably
yes, it
there
does
are bits.
Work better. Yes, it
probably
does.
Probably there are bits. I'm going to Bournemouth in a few months, I'll tell you. But look, the point is solar works everywhere. Obviously, it works better in some places than other. But I can show you some really wonky graphs, if you like, that show that the amount of solar we've already got installed in the UK is having a material impact on the amount of power we use during the day from fossil fuels. Because there's big graphs that show demand, and where it should be going up to a nice peak where gas power is doing its thing, it kind of levels off in the middle of the day when solar power is actually replacing it. So it's working, screw you, go home.
Okay, well, look, I was being a little bit naughty because I've had such a bad week. And the other thing
that's
going
too.
On...
You can
I
probably
know
tell.
I know you have too, but you look very pretty and your hair is really, really nice. The other thing that's good news with solar is what's-her-face, Mrs. Future President and all-round lady hunk, Hillary Clinton, right? Mm. Who wants to put a metric bugger load of solar panels. how many? Half a billion?
Half a billion?
Half a billion? Crikey, that's more... Well, that's many.
That's loads.
Loads. That's... Well, it's just a lot, isn't it? She wants to put half a billion solar panels all over the USA if she wins the presidency-shipness, which she might.
She might, and she says that she wants America to generate enough clean renewable energy to power every home within 10 years. Now, I'm sure there are holes in this argument, and I'm sure she's proposing bad things on the side as well. But the point is, it's leadership. All right, she is a really, really senior politician who might be the leader of the free world quite soon. And she's going around saying, I don't care if you think this is rubbish. It's not. It's important. And we're going to do it. And you've got to have that leadership. You've just got to have it if people are going to, you know, believe that it's a serious thing and we should be doing it. And it is sorely lacking in this country. It's sorely lacking in Australia. And it's sorely lacking in the Republican Party in America as well. So it's good that someone's doing it. Well done, Hill.
That's it, isn't it? And you're going to have what looks like at the moment the magnificent spectacle of the world's largest Inhofe, Donald Trump, who we covered in episode 19, up against Hillary Clinton, who wants to make everything in the entire world green and fluffy. And that's what your American voters are going to be given a choice of. And you know what I'm going to do, Ollie?
Oh, what's coming.
If they vote in Donald Trump.
Oh, no, I don't. Okay, what are you going to do?
I am going to do some tweets about it.
And another reason to love Hillary Clinton is that she doesn't think we should go drilling for oil in the Arctic. Now, not the most radical position if you've got your head screwed on, but it's different to what Barry Obie thinks, and it's different to what some very powerful drilling companies and oil companies think. And again, it's bloody brilliant that she's saying that. She came out with a tweet which said, "The Arctic is a unique treasure. Given what we know, it's not worth the risk of drilling." Hyphen H. That last bit isn't important. The bit before is very important. That's cool. That's unequivocal. You've got to assume that if she gets into power, she'd look very silly if she then let them go drilling. And I think it's great that she said that. Well done, Hills.
I hereby make a prediction with you. I reckon if Hillary Clinton does become president of the free world and all-round lady hunk, I reckon she will allow drilling in the Arctic. What do you think about that?
You cynical, cynical boy. You're probably right.
Schadenfreude of the week.
So, Schadenfreude of the week. Now, this is an occasional column that we do. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen often enough to get in every week, right? And it's when someone who is themselves a complete and utter nasty toe rag, a total Inhofe, a wrongdoer, a pain in the side of righteousness everywhere, when they come a cropper, a gooden, right? And the particular timing of this is brilliant because it's last week's Inhofe president... Prime Minister.
That's what I called him last week as well.
Prime Minister David Cameron, who has been on holiday because, you know, there's nothing happening. Like,
yeah, he's been on three holidays, actually.
Yes, to be fair, I'll be on holiday every week. who has been on holiday with his wife, Samantha, in Cornwall. And what he has been doing, it has turned out, is going for swims in the sea and bodyboarding and stuff like that, like some sort of rock star, right? And turns out he's been breathing in poo.
Go on.
Well, it's poo in the water. Like, because the weather's been really bad down in Cornwall, when the weather gets really, really bad, they bung the sewage straight into the sea, which is obviously a bad thing, right?
It's an emergency measure to stop it backing up into people's homes, isn't it?
Yeah, so what it's done is backed up down the Prime Minister's gullet, which I love, right? So he's been out there surfing Monday and Tuesday. The day after, Southwest Water down in Cornwall bunged the contents of the whole of Cornwall's bowels straight into the sea, right?
And they eat a lot of fish around there as well. That's not going to be pretty.
So obviously there's a big issue here, which is pumping sewage into the sea is blinking horrible, right? And the campaign group Surfers Against Sewage said, use the example.
They're well called. They're brilliant, that lot. They turned up to lobby a bunch of MPs in their wetsuits with their surfboards in June. It was great.
Cracking. Wonderful. Really, really, really good stuff, yeah. And presumably choking back a smile, the campaign manager said there could be anything from a small health risk to the Camerons, such as, you know, skin, eye, ear or throat infections, to much more serious conditions, such as E. coli or hepatitis.
Not funny. Very funny.
Prediction time.
Okay, prediction time. Yep. I've been looking forward to this. Might have been able to tell.
Not allowed. Doesn't count.
Right, yes. Ignore Dave. No. So last week, I predicted rather wisely, I thought, that this week a lot of people would get very upset about the feed-in tariff. And lo and behold, Well, as if you've listened this far, you'll know that it came well true.
Yes, well, okay, so it did come well true, but you're not having a point. It's still 2-1, yeah. And the reason you're not having a point is because you are a thieving little toe rag, right? That was my prediction, and I was out by a matter of days, and you nicked it, which is the only way you ever get anything done, which is by nicking my ideas, right?
It's not about the taking part, Dave. It's about the winning.
Larceny is what it is. I'm not giving you a point. Not allowed.
3-1.
Right, okay, well,
what have you got?
Right, okay, then, my turn, you horrible little git, right? And so I predict that what is going to happen is this. I think that is the end. I think that is the end of all of the governments titting about, right? I think that is it, because everyone's coming back from school holiday, all the MPs are going to be back, right? And party conference season is starting, and they'll have got it all out of the way when no one's looking in August, right? So I think what's going to happen next week, between now and episode 22, is the government is going to announce something good on the environment, something that it may not be wonderful and perfect, it may not escape our babbly clutches, but it is going to be generally positive after weeks and months of everything being terrible and awful. That's what I predict. And if they don't do it next week, they are going to do it the next week after that or the week after that. They're going to start doing better stuff, right? And so I imagine you're just going to steal it from me and keep on using it until it comes true, because you have absolutely no original ideas of your own.
I'll very happily do that time and time again. 3-1. Okay, so that is just about it for Sustainababble 21, not 2-1, as our lovely friend Dennis rightfully pointed out over in Pedant's Corner on Twitter, that a score is 20. So when I said 2-1 for the last one, I was talking nonsense. Thanks, Dennis, and I'm sorry. It's the sort of thing that I should get right, and frankly, I've let you all down. But none more than myself. I'm going to go and castigate myself. He also pointed out...
It's a bit drastic, isn't it?
He also said, while he was at it, that we were wrong, or more specifically, I was wrong, to suggest that Margaret Thatcher privatised the railways. It was John Major. I presume he's right about that. Frankly, Dennis is right about most things, so I haven't bothered looking it up. But
Dennis says it is probably right, although I think in practice what happened was it was Thatcher's idea, and Thatcher did a great deal of the groundwork, and it may be John Major that formally dotted the I's and crossed the T's, but I'm pretty sure that actually it's known as Thatcher's privatisation for a reason. You're probably both right.
Okay. Well, Dennis, if you're listening, and thank you so much for listening and pointing out our flaws, just tell Dave why he's wrong. That would make me feel better. That's it. Thank you, as ever, to Dickie Moore and the wonderful Bearcraft, who provide the lovely music for us and the blinkety blinkety bits. Thank you to Arabella, the now 6-year-old and very grown up little niece of mine.
Thank you to Alice Bell again. Great to use a little bit more of that interview that we did. Great to hear from you again. Thanks, Alice. You can let us know what you think of the show, and please do. You can get hold of us on Twitter at The Babble Wagon. On our Facebook page, you can find Sustainababble. Drop us an email at hello@sustainababble.fish. Please do give us a rating on iTunes or SoundCloud or however you consume this delicious podcast, because it helps push us up the charts. Tell your friends. And let's get us riding high on the wings of love.
Very nice. Well, assuming the global economy doesn't come crashing down between now and then, we will be back next week with Sustainababble 22. And until then, you have a lovely week, won't you, Dave?
I will. Don't have nightmares.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my cat's just jumped on my lap. Sophie, say hello to Babble. Say hello to Babble. Sophie. Aww. Thank you, Sophie.